And now, Lifestyles Unlimited presents the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Over the next hour, we unfold your map to financial freedom. You'll learn how to retire through investing in single-family and multifamily real estate. You'll learn how to create cash flow and build wealth so you can have the time and money to live the lifestyle you want.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Yeah, you caught me again saying the word we're because I have Mike on the show with me. Now, you heard Mike on the show about 2 months ago. And if you were listening 2 months ago, I told you that Mike was going to be at an event that we hold annually. We call that the Expo event. And that Mike was going to be one of the instructors. In other words, what Mike was going to do is, he actually did this. He stood up in front of a massive room of a lot of people. And he flat out told him how he turned $400,000 into $4 million. Now, he didn't have a printing press. He didn't do anything illegal. All he did was do what he was taught to do. Now, Mike is very good at that because Mike came from a background where he went to school and he studied really hard. Really hard. He studied a lot harder than I did. And I know this because he's a certified engineer. This guy's a mechanical engineer. Me, I went to an engineering class and I went, oh no, we're not doing this for the next 4 years. And I pursued a business degree and wound up in the military. But Mike, he pursued that mechanical engineering degree because he was told at an early age that if he was going to be successful in life, that's the path he needed to follow. And engineering was going to get him to a place where he would make crazy money. He would become wealthy almost overnight. And when it was all said and done, he would have this massive bag of cash waiting for him in a place that we call retirement. But Mike turned 40 and he realized that he wasn't quite getting to where he thought he was supposed to be. Now, he put his nose back to the grindstone. He did. But then he realized something else. It's not working. Yeah, Mike is a smart guy. And once he realized that his own financial livelihood was in peril, and I'm not talking about making money and living off of it. I'm talking about getting to that point in your life where you don't want to work anymore. You're tired of working for the man. You're tired of doing what other people tell you to do. You're tired of working weekends. You're tired of all that stuff. You just want to manage your own life. And Mike realized what he was doing wasn't cutting it. And he decided he was going to do something different. And in that same breath, he literally became a member of Lifestyles Unlimited. And what Mike did was he took $400,000 that he had saved over many years of work. Many years of work that also allowed him to witness not one, but two market meltdowns. You know, kind of what's going on in the market right now. It's a market meltdown. He lived through that, and he didn't want to go back to that again. So he chose real estate. He chose real estate as the path that he was going to follow to get him out of the craziness that he was doing. And I will tell you this, in a short amount of time, he completely revamped what he was doing for retirement. He took that $400,000, he invested it correctly, and now it's worth well over $4 million. As a matter of fact, that's what it was worth a couple months ago when I was hanging out with Mike at a meetup event that Lifestyles Unlimited members go to in the city of Austin. I'll tell you what, let's just bring Mike on now. Because what we need to do is we need to get into his brain because I want you to understand you can get the same result that Mike obtained. And the beautiful thing is Mike is available to help you. He is a member of Lifestyles Unlimited, and he would love nothing more than to help you achieve the same result that he's achieved. So let's get him on the show. Mike, How was the event last night? You guys had a meetup event up in Austin. I was not able to go. How was the event?
Hey, Al. Hey, thanks for the great introduction. I'll try and live up to half of that. Yeah, we had a meetup here in Austin. I host one a couple times a month for the last 8 years, and it's open to members and to bring your friends and family to learn more about us. And it's we had probably 25 people there at Rudy's Barbecue, and we kind of last night we talked about, you know, where we are in the market. You know, with the interest rates rising, people are starting to get nervous. Like, well, you know, is it still a good time to get in? And we had some new people there too last night. So, you know, they're curious, but everybody's a little bit nervous. So we just kind of went through, you know, the benefits of real estate investing. And it's still a great place to invest because people are nervous about everything else that they would normally invest in. And with inflation going up, you know, you don't want cash either because you're losing money. So that was good. It was good last night.
Yeah, I mean, these are the types of deep discussions that we get into in these small groups. I mean, these are opportunities for us as members to hang out with other people that understand the world as we understand it now, and we're able to dissect some of these arguments. So you guys were talking about interest rates, and I know everybody's like concerned about interest rates. The interest rates moved up radically fast in comparison to what the Fed's doing, and everybody's afraid that real estate it's now we can't buy it anymore because the interest rates went up. What are your thoughts, Mike?
You can still buy. You know, we, like Dell teaches, you know, when he first started, interest rates were, you know, above 10%. My first home was a 10% interest rate back in the late 80s. So, you know, you can still make money. With inflation right now, rents are rising rapidly, and that, as far as you know, cash flow on your properties, that more than makes up for 1 or 2 point increase in interest rate. So I'm not too worried about interest rates right now. It is slowing the market down, so you're not getting people, you know, in bidding wars for houses like we had a few months ago. So that's more of a return to a normal market right now. After surviving the market meltdown, like you called it, in 2000 and 2008, where I took my 401k and turned it into a 201k, you know, with losing half the value. It's just, it's depressing. So it takes years to recover. It took about 8 years to get back to that 400,000 that I had when I was in my mid 30s. I thought I was rocking and rolling in my mid 30s with, you know, the stock market was going crazy, and then didn't realize you could lose it so fast.
Are you seeing the same type of event going on in the current marketplace? I mean, are you having PTSD with regards to what the market's doing now?
Not anymore, because I've don't have much left in the market. I was entirely out of the market up until a couple of years ago. My father passed away, and we inherited his IRA. So we have a little bit of IRA money. No, so I don't have this PTSD now with the market meltdown, because all my stuff's in real estate that, you know, we're surviving off of, that we're getting cash flow every month off of and every quarter. And this year in particular has been amazing. You know, I've got a lot of my deals are selling this year, taking advantage of this peak in the market. It's incredible.
So, you know, I'm not hearing any worry in your voice. You know, people listening to us, they just heard you say, I'm not diversified, because you have all of your money essentially in real estate. So that made them nervous. The other thing they heard, which is very foreign to them, is that you receive cash distributions quarterly. Now, they don't get that with their 401k or their IRAs or that sort of stuff. So that's foreign to them too. This is the one that's really going to make them fall off their chair. You ready for it, Michael?
Sure.
You're selling all this stuff. So if you're selling all this stuff, you're going to get hammered on taxes. You're going to get hammered on taxes. That's why you shouldn't be in real estate. This is what they're thinking. Go ahead, Michael. Tell them why they have it wrong.
The past 11 years, we've been investing in real estate. Those investments create losses. They're called depreciation losses. And in 2018, with that Tax Cut Jobs Act, it vastly accelerated the amount of depreciation you can take. And they did that to stimulate the investment in the economy and got the economy rocking and rolling. So, for example, you can invest, you know, $100,000 into a real estate apartment complex and get an $80,000 depreciation loss that same year. And that $80,000 now is used against any capital gain. So any other property that sells and where you have a profit, you can offset it with that big depreciation loss.
This sounds like it's illegal.
Right? No, it's the way Congress set it up. And they did it to spur investment in our economy. And so, you know, it makes sense. So we just take advantage of it as real estate investors. And we're investing in our properties. So we buy these properties, and I they're run down. There's a lot of money that we pour into them to fix them up, make them look nice inside and out, to make them great places to live. We add dog parks and covered parking and all kinds of stuff. So these rundown properties now become very pretty and very profitable.
And I think the neatest thing about these properties is their physical location, because we're going after product that was built many, many years ago, yet the location hasn't changed. The location is still an excellent location. It's just that the physical asset at that location, it needs a lot of work. I mean, would you see it the same way?
Yeah, I would think so. And let's see, getting back taxes. So for this past several years, we haven't paid income tax on the real estate, as well as depreciation that carries forward year after year, so you can keep using it. And as long as you keep investing in new properties, you'll continue to get depreciation and you won't ever have to pay tax. Now, that's a little bit misleading, because we do pay property tax. You know, that's our biggest expense on any of these properties, is our property tax bill. I think a lot of people that live in Texas, you know, understand that, especially this past year when we all got our new valuations. So we are contributing back to our local communities.
Yeah, that was definitely an eye-opener, huh? It was definitely an eye-opener. Yeah. But at the end of the day, what we're doing is we're still contributing to the tax base. We're just doing it in a completely different way. And what we're doing is we're protecting our income. And by protecting our income, that protects us from fluctuations in the economy, does it not?
Right.
So you're not worried about all this inflation stuff hitting right now. I mean, you've got, Michael, you just got this smooth and easy voice. I mean, there's nothing that's going to faze you in the economy right now, even with terrible inflation, even with the fact we can't even get baby formula. You're still like easygoing with this real estate.
Yeah. I mean, I suppose the one thing that would slow us down is a recession, right? And that'll create opportunities for us as well. But right now we're seeing these huge increases in rents. You know, it's like 10%, 20%. Some of the cities I'm invested in are going up 30% this past year. And that doubles your investment, triples your investment in less than 2 years.
Yeah,
and that,
I agree.
You know, is outpacing the current inflation rate, which is historically true, that your rental properties will continue to outpace inflation. So, and that's why it's a great place to be invested in a high inflationary period.
When you were in the stock market, what was considered a good return? I mean, for a good year for you when you were doing all that stuff, what, 8%, 10%? What was a crazy good year for you?
I guess I wasn't looking at it as far as returns and dividends. I was just crossing fingers that the value of it would go up, so that by the time I retired, I had this big pile of cash I could slowly eat away at over the years. So I know that, you know, from doing research, that the typical market return in any 20-year period is about 7%. And so that's kind of what I base everything off of. So if I can beat 7% on my real estate investments, then I've done better than I would have in the market. And all of my properties that I've sold, and I think I'm in 70 different deals right now, and 15 of them have sold. And of those 15, my worst one was 7% return.
Okay, there you have it, everybody. The worst real estate investment that Michael made still did as well as he did in the silly stock market for years. We come back from the break. I'm going to ask him where he's investing his money. We got to know this.
Now more intel to build a better lifestyle from Del Wamsley.
I read somewhere from some psychology book said, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Think about that. What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Over the years at Lifestyles, I've taught people how to become financially free. I've taught them how to be retired. I've taught them how to be retired plus rich. I've taught them how to be retired plus rich plus massively wealthy. Each person decides on a scale of 1 to 10 on a continuum where they want to remain on that continuum. And I just know some people go, you know, if we just pick up a little bit of additional side income on the side, that'd be good. You know, we've got a regular earned income. If we have a little additional side income, that's a good addition. We can live a little higher on the hog than we could have before. Some of them are thinking, well, if I just get a little bit of real estate investments, then maybe by the time I retire, it'd be just like my other retirement. I'll add it to my 401k and my IRA and some little real estate deals on the side, and I'll have a little bit better retirement. Some people go, you know what? I want to literally retire. That concept of retirement is going to take a complete mind shift from everything you've been taught in life.
Got questions? Call Lifestyles Unlimited at 855-497-4335. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show continues next.
You can't be financially free if you're psychologically imprisoned by disabling belief systems.
Are you ready to break free from your disabling belief systems about money, real estate, retirement, and financial freedom? Then join us for Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Learn the belief system that thousands of people like you have used to break free from corporate America and create the lives they have always wanted. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedFreeWorkshop.com.
Let me just lay out the picture for you. Michael and I are having a conversation about real estate, and primarily this conversation is directed based on what Michael has accomplished as a real estate investor. Just to recap for you, when he was in his early 40s, he realized that what he was doing for retirement was not going to get him to where he intended to go. Yeah, and he had lived through the market meltdown of 2000 and then again in 2008. And he was getting done with it because what he was watching was all of this wealth that he thought he was building just erode right before his eyes. Kind of what you're probably feeling in the current situation in the markets. Now, Michael did something about it. He did. He listened to what we had to say at Lifestyles Unlimited. He was a little skeptical, just like all of us are coming into this, but he came in with an open mind and he learned from us how to invest correctly in real estate. You know what we did? Oh, we just turned him loose. We totally turned him loose. And he took $400,000 that he managed to amass a couple of times, and he redeployed that money into real estate. He has built up a portfolio of assets that are, what were you at now, Michael? 70? Are you in 70 deals now?
Yeah, we participated in 70 deals.
Okay.
One just closed yesterday.
You didn't get it into all 70 at once. This was a systematic approach, no. Right?
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
So
yeah, that first year was like three deals, and then one deal the next year, and two deals. And then they started selling, and then all of a sudden I can get into eight deals, and then 10 deals, and it's like a snowball rolling.
So you would deploy your money into these apartment communities. Mm-hmm. You would give the money to a lead investor who's also a Lifestyles Unlimited member that you felt
right.
Knew what they were doing, that they had a investment objective that mirrored what you were trying to accomplish. So you would partner together, you'd invest, they would do all the work, you would get the returns, you would liquidate the asset, you would get a whole bunch more money, and then you basically turn one into two. Is that kind of the recipe you're following?
Yeah, that's kind of the recipe. Once those deals either cash out, refinance in a couple of years, or sell in, you know, 3 to 5 years, take that and reinvest it. You know, as a friend of mine said, you want to don't eat your seed corn. Once you've got that money in and working for you, you want to keep reinvesting it.
Ah, yes, the wisdom of John Pry. Do not eat yeah. your seed corn, because that
exactly.
will cause you huge problems. So
yep.
when you started investing, what was it, like 10, 11 years ago? Mm-hmm. Did your strategy change over the time from when you started? I mean, have you been following the exact same strategy this whole time, or have you modified the strategy based on other factors?
Yeah, things change. I mean, we started, you know, in Central Texas. I think Lifestyles was pretty new back then, so there weren't a lot of syndicators, a lot of leads that were in Central. So we did a few deals in the Austin area. But then once I finally found some guys down in Houston, I invested more money down in the Houston area. And then the realization of the hurricane, you know, possibilities. So that led me to go up to the Dallas area. And now I'm out in Phoenix and kind of spreading the wealth around to different locations just to add a little diversity to it. So I don't all have everything in one little pot. You know, if you've got an economic downturn in San Antonio, you don't want everything, all of your investments in one city.
So we just resolved the whole diversification concern, because you are diversified. You are extremely diversified. It's just that you're diversified within an asset class. You're not diversified
right.
across a bunch of different assets.
Correct. Yep. And also different syndicators. So some syndicators I'm real happy with, and I'll do multiple deals with them. I think I've done 10 deals with one guy.
Wow.
But also I'm happy to try out brand new leads, you know, and see what they can do and give them a little bit of money and get in on the ground floor with them. So as they grow and progress, I can grow with them.
Now, you got this whole cash flow thing that you talked about earlier in the show. You actually have people that send you money quarterly. I mean, how can they afford to do that?
So the property, that's actually a good question. So I was talking to one of my exchange students that was visiting from Italy about how all this stuff works. And the syndicator, the lead, manages the property. They collect the rent every month. You know, they manage their expenses so the expenses don't get too high. And at the end of the month, they end up with a small profit. And then at the end of 3 months, they take that small profit and they split it out to all the investors, right? Because I'm not the only investor in these things. There's 30, 50, sometimes 100 people that chip in a little bit of money to purchase these things. And so they all get a piece of that profit at the end of the quarter based on how much, you know, what percentage ownership they have. It's pretty simple. It's just like a business.
Yeah, and the lead investor sends you, once you've done the legal thing and you've made contact with them in accordance with the law, they will send you the investment opportunity for you to review, and you simply look at it, review it, and determine whether it fits your portfolio or not, right?
Right. Yeah, and there's questions I ask, you know, make sure that the syndicator knows what he's doing. I've got a whole list of, you know, things that I'll go over in my head at least. And if I don't know the lead personally, I will definitely reach out and have a conversation with them for, you know, 20 minutes just to get a feel for who they are before I'll send them any kind of check. Because you want to be sure that they're following their mentor, because, you know, lifestyle provides mentorship. And if I'm talking to the person and they're not even sure who their mentor is, then I don't want to invest. So make sure they've got a connection with their mentor and with their operations consultant that Lifestyles also provides. It's going to help them run that property for the entire time that they own it.
What kind of assets are you looking for now? Are you looking for properties that are going to produce outstanding cash flow? Are you looking for properties that are going to double your money? Are you somewhere in between? Where are you at?
I'll look at any deal. And if it's in a growing city, then, and it may not have much cash flow, that's okay. But I want a mix. I don't want everything that's just in it for equity gain and no cash flow, because I got to live, right? So you need your base of cash flow. So once you have that, now you're able to broaden your horizon and say, okay, well, maybe I want to pick something that's a little more risky in a smaller town that's outside a major city and with a brand new lead. But you got to get your base set first. You know, I wouldn't recommend being risky for these high equity gain properties up front.
Yeah, I agree with you. You have to get your cash flow situation settled, because without the cash flow, you're not really retired. And if you right. jeopardize the cash flow, you could put yourself in a situation where you're eating, you know, Alpo or something. And that's not why we do all this stuff. We're doing all this stuff because we don't want to eat Alpo when we retire, correct?
Right. And if you're still working, you know, and you've got a secure job and you like your job, then take the risk. You know, you can go out and do these ones that are going to double and triple your money in a couple years. At least that's what the hope is, right?
Yeah. So are you looking for assets that are really distressed? Are you looking for assets that are brand new in construction? Are you looking, what exactly is on your radar right now?
I've actually done a couple of new construction deals recently, just in my hometown, because I want to contribute back to the city I'm in. And, you know, with the rising cost of labor and material, maybe that was a mistake. You know, I'm an engineer. I like to see things being built, so it's fun to watch them being built. So I have gone out and done that recently.
When I have Michael on the show, there's like 6 million things I want to ask him, because he's just brilliant when it comes to the conversation about real estate. He is. And when you become a member of Lifestyles Unlimited and you have an opportunity to meet Michael, you're just going to walk away with the same impression of the guy. You really are. The guy knows his stuff. He's passionate about it. He's so passionate about it that he not only, fixed his own retirement problem, he helps other people fix their retirement problems. Now Michael is not a mentor. He's not one of the dedicated mentors that we have on the Lifestyles Unlimited team. but he is a member. And as a member, he gives back to the organization. He actually gave a talk at our expo event 2 months ago where he basically told everybody how he took $400,000 that you earned, what, three times? It took you three times to get to $400,000, did it not, Michael?
Yeah, after the market corrections of the previous 20 years, yeah.
Yeah, but you have no problem standing up in front of a massive room of real estate investors, some that are brand new or trying to figure this stuff out, and people that have way more net worth than you and I can even imagine. You're telling all of these people how you basically took $400,000, turned it into $4 million, and you didn't lose any sleep over it.
Well, maybe the first couple of years before I really got, you know, bit the bullet and went all in. You're a little bit nervous. You know, growing up, you know, up until I'm 50, you know, I'm making, you know, stock market purchases, and $5,000 is a lot of money. Now I'm investing, you know, $80,000 and $100,000 in a single deal, and that it was a foreign concept that took a while to sink in and be comfortable with.
I mean, you're buying shares of apartment communities for more money than many people make in a year.
Yeah.
And that was
difficult bridge to cross those first couple of years, because you don't know these guys very well, right? These leads that you meet at the networking events, you know, back then I made it a point to make sure I got to know them pretty well. So I would, you know, we had a boat club down in Austin, and we would invite these leads out on the boat for a Saturday with their wives and their wife, my wife and their wife. And four of us, we'd go spend the afternoon together, and I'd get to know them, you know, before I felt comfortable writing a big check to them. So we did that with several. And of course, nowadays, everybody's too busy to do that kind of thing. But, you know, for sure, I've got to meet them at a networking event, meet them at the expo. That's where most of them will show up, and you can have conversations with them. So I think that's critical, to make sure that you have a good feeling about who this lead is before you're investing.
So you've coordinated relationships with a lot of Lifestyles Unlimited leads, and there are leads that you will invest with, and there are leads that you won't invest with, and you pretty much articulated the why as to why you won't invest with certain people. We get that. So when it comes to the ones you want to invest with, what type of assets do you want them to acquire? What are you looking for in the form of the actual horse itself?
I'm steering away from things that are built in the 60s now. I actually owned one. I was a lead for a few years, bought a late 60s property. It comes with a lot of unique problems that older properties come with that are hard to determine when you're purchasing it. You know, cast iron pipes and all that stuff behind the walls and under the ground. So I'm looking for the horse now, the apartments that are like built in the 80s, the 90s, early 2000s. Think kind of in that range. And what else? In a good location. So what county are we in? You know, property taxes are a big expense. So there are some counties that are aggressive on raising your property taxes every year, and some counties that don't, right? The smaller counties are not that aggressive, and so you can not have that huge property tax bump when you purchase a property.
What are you looking for when it comes to rates of return?
I'm looking for about a 20% annualized return, and that's cash flow plus equity gain. And that's fairly easy to hit. And that's something I want to talk about too, is these early deals that I did. We had average annual returns of 75%, 80%, 100% on my deals 2, 3, and 4. My very first deal down in San Antonio, 360-unit property. We still own it, right? It's year 11 now, and it's been going up 100% a year. So from that original investment, it goes up that amount every year we hold it.
Is that the property Jerry bought 10 or 11 years ago?
Yeah.
That thing is just amazing. Do you guys think you'll ever sell that?
I'm sure we will in a couple of years. We had one building burn down about 5 years ago, and we're still fighting with the insurance company on it. They don't. It's down to the slab, and the insurance company doesn't want to pay to pull the slab out and put a new one in. And there's no contractor that's going to build a new building on top of a burnt slab like that. So we're kind of we're in the courts, and that should be resolved later this year. Once we get that, Jerry's going to build a building there, and then we'll look at selling it.
Well, I remember touring that property. Well, it was before COVID, and that thing still is. It's what, 8 units that are down, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Now, how are you guys protecting yourselves? I mean, that's 8 units that are not producing any income. How is that affecting your bottom line?
So we're still making like 13-14% cash on cash return on that. We've gotten 200% of our money back already on this deal, and the equity in it is incredible. It's gone. We bought this thing for $8 million. It's worth roughly $55 million now. Our all in, you know, the cash out of pocket that we spent to buy it was about $3.7 million back 11 years ago. Every year we hold it, it's going up in value another $4 million. So
wow.
The longer we hold it, and so Dell would say, you know, well, what's your, you know, every year you're supposed to recalculate what your return is, because we're making, you know, 12-13% on our original investment. But if you look at the equity that's in it, it's just massive. So your actual return might be in the 2-3% on that huge equity. So we call that dead equity, right? So you want to get that out somehow. You have two choices, right? You can sell it and realize that capital gain, which could cause you to pay taxes. So depending on how much depreciation you've got from other deals, or you can and then the possibility of 1031ing to move that, kick that tax can down the road becomes, you know, in play. The other option is to pull that out with a cash out refinance. And so we're actually going to have a team meeting about that another month or two, to say, hey, maybe let's take a lot of that money off the table and we'll be able to reinvest it now.
Now, are you going to have to pay taxes on that money if you do a cash out refinance?
No, that is you're basically taking out a loan and they don't tax you on proceeds from a loan. So I could, for that $80,000 I put in, I could get a check for $400,000 or $500,000, you know, as a refinance. We've got that much equity and more sitting in this property. So it might be $500,000. So I'm going to get tax free and use that to reinvest in 5 more properties.
Did you ever in your wildest dreams think that when you wrote that check for $80,000 to Jerry 11 years ago, that he would be producing such significant returns for you and your family?
No, it's just crazy. You know, and back then my son was going to college, and this thing was producing, that $80,000 investment produced $18,000 a year cash flow. That, you know, he's going to A&M, and that's, you know, ballpark what we were spending to send him to A&M. So instead of having a college fund, you know, like everybody does when their kids are born, you start saving up money, and then you're going to spend it all and give it all to the university. In this case, we invested it. The cash flow paid for the college. And then when he was done with his degree, I still have this investment that's still been growing. It's a whole different mindset, a different way of looking at things. Let your assets pay for your liabilities.
I know. Isn't it cool? I mean, would you ever go back to doing life the way you and I did it as kids? Well, the kid stuff was fun, but as far as the going to school and working for other people, would you go back and do that again, knowing what you know now?
There were some good times. You know, met a lot of good friends and the different jobs I had working on space station. I mean, we built some cool stuff. I'm not going to deny that. So I wouldn't have given that up, but I would have invested differently so that I wouldn't have been stressed. You know, when you're back then working on the space station, every year Congress would vote to cancel my job, right? Because do we want to spend money on space or not? And so all of us would sit around watching CNN back then saying, oh, we're going to have a job tomorrow or not. So that's just extra stress. And if you've got extra cash flow coming in, you know, as you get older, you don't have to stress out so much about getting laid off at work. It's like, you know, I'm here because I choose to be here behind a desk, not because I have to be here to feed my family. It's just a much better place to be in. So you can enjoy your job if you want to continue to work, or enjoy life if you don't.
Well, there you have it. The mind of a multimillionaire shared exclusively for your benefit.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.